Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of SNP Schneider-Neureither & Partner SE regarding the presentation of the Q3 results 2019. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Christoph Marx, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes. Thank you, operator. Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us on our Q3 call. I hope you all had the chance to see the publications we put on our website basically this morning, which is the financial report, of course, as well as the press release and the presentation, which will be the basis for this call. With me here today is Dr. Uwe Schwelbach, our CFO, and Michael Eberhardt, our COO, who will both guide you through this presentation and will be happy to start in the Q&A session afterwards. At this moment, I would like to hand over to Michael.
Okay. Thanks, Christoph. Welcome also from my side to this Q3 call. Let me just give you a couple of business updates first before Uwe is then commenting, let's say, all the financials performance. As you could see on the first slide, we had, I would say, a very good, very strong Q3, which is, let's say, in line with our expectation. We signed a major software deal, as we announced already, let's say, in former times, with one of the world-leading IT consulting firm. Important for us that this is a contract which will accelerate our partner business on the one side, but it also helps us to accelerate our software business, and it's a proof of concept that our strategy to use SNP software to accelerate and scale our business in a different way is, let's say, more than solid. This commitment was for roughly 30 million revenue until 2022, which is, let's say, the biggest contract we ever signed in the software area as SNP. Additional to that, we also signed a very interesting deal with Google Cloud. Google decided to buy from SNP our Crystal Bridge platform and is using the SNP BlueField procedure and approach to enable SAP customers to implement a rapid and secure data migration towards the Google Cloud system. The content here is very much that Google is demonstrating together with us that, first of all, there is an easy way to move data from an on-premise outsourcing model towards the Google Cloud. For sure, Google is highly interested to get, let's say, the workload, the real SAP workload on their platform. We are part of this ecosystem, which is helping us to drive additional revenue. We also agreed to do a share buyback program, which is, let's say, started on September 1st, and will, let's say, end latest May 2021. This share purchase program is, let's say, first of all, we believe in our shares. Secondly, we have a plan to do, let's say, some incentives for our employees, where we can use part of the shares later on. I think the most important part was that we have, let's say, overall, but very specific in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, we had a very strong order entry, which also led to a significant increased backlog, and it's now on the record level. This is not only coming from direct customer contact. I see in all areas across all industries, significant changes in, let's say, all four dimensions. When I talk about four dimensions, I mean with carve-outs, with mergers, with S/4HANAs, but also with move towards, let's say, the cloud or consolidation of system. This works pretty well on our direct sales model, but it also works very well on the indirect sales model, which is for us even more important because our plan is to scale SNP's IP significantly through a dedicated partner program. The point number one is, let's say, demonstrating that this works in a good way. The revenue shift is progressing towards the right direction. We talked last time about the mix between software revenue and service revenue. We are right now on a ratio of 30% software and 70% service revenue. We have some of the smaller countries where we are investing, like in the US, where we come in even with a better ratio, more in the mix of, let's say, 40 to 60, which is exactly in line with our expectations. So this is all, let's say, good news and will help us to accelerate S&P aligned with our plan. If we go to the next page, you see that we have, extended our strategy by, I would say, at least one very important point, which is the partner transformation area. We use, the partner, all the system integrator, the big force, SAP itself, and also partners like, local partners in each of the specific country to accelerate our Bluefield approach by using the partner network and partnering, in a way that the partner is using our technology, our IP. We trained their own consultants to get the capability to do the projects by themselves, or if needed, we do this, in a shared approach, a shadowing approach, or in a support model. And we are working right now on building up, all this three kind of support models, a shadowing model, or working as a subcontractor. For sure, when we sell our software, we deliver the maintenance, we have a dedicated team up to do all the trainings and the qualification of the partners. And our plan is to have something like an S&P certified, engineer consultants outside in the field with each of the major partners going forward. The business value here is very clear. It's leveraging our, key assets, which is our Bluefield approach on the one side and our Crystal Bridge as our, core software going forward. We provide end-to-end services in the ecosystem with our partner, but we are also able, what you can see in the middle, we can also do this by our own, just that we always have the understanding and the learning where we need to improve our assets and our software. Therefore, it's important to have direct customer contact and to drive this forward. But the maturity of the business going forward will be delivered through the partner channel. So, and we had restarted this program in a way that we have a clear, partner program with different kind of partner, segmentation. We have, it's not the final name, but we are working on a partner model, which is an entry partner model, a medium end partner model, and an advanced partner model with different advantages for each of these partners going forward. IBM today is our, highest ranked partner we have in the market so far. Well, point number two is, exactly what we do with the partner we do by ourselves, or we do, as a subcontractor forward to the partner. That means we use our own technology, we use our own service units to deliver the services for our customers. We also stick to our Bluefield approach, and we are focusing, exactly on the same scenarios. Scenarios are, the major scenarios are the carve-outs, the mergers, the S4HANA, which gives us a huge, extra backwind, because a lot of the customers, and SAP has roughly 50,000 customers in, on a historical SAP platform, and they all need to move to something like S4HANA going forward. And with our Bluefield approach, we see that we have the best approach to do this, in a smooth way, and to give the customer the best way of options how to move from, the as-is scenario towards the future platform, which is hopefully S4HANA of all of this customer, or at least of the maturity of the customer. The business value here is also, again, we can do the full service data transformation, but with options, customer can decide how much historical data he would like to move, how he would like to consolidate the system, the merge system, and all these kind of things in parallel. We have economy of scale because we are using, much stronger the software part to get the repeatability and standardization on our own service as well. And for us, it's important to leverage the experience and the competence, and to improve with this experience and this competence then also our software going forward, so that we have an innovative software development cycle in the front end, which again then can accelerate the partner business and can differentiate us going forward. And then on point number three is the maturity of the company will be partner, and non-partner transformation business, but we also have, let's say, non-transformation business. So we do a lot of things like, let's say, business around, I'll just give you an example. We have a capability in application management, application operation, application rollouts, and this kind of things, which is very interesting when we do in carve-out, for example, for private equity companies, and they would like to get, they need somebody who is operating the IT. We can even give this customer, this, let's say, opportunity, an end-to-end one-stop shopping model, which is interesting because it's easier, it's faster, and it's, in most cases, less cost-intensive if we keep this under one in one hand. On the other side, we use a lot of, let's say, new technology like machine learning, robotics, automation, analytics, and artificial intelligence to see what we can, when we do this kind of data selection and data harmonization, how we can help the customer to get more information out of his data and how we can automate this kind of data migration even better with using robotics and automation and this kind of things. So these are two areas, and we have a very strong focus. We deliver this, let's say, on-site, but also in digital transformation centers so that we get our cost ratio to the right point. But our plan is not to compete here against our partners like IBM or Accenture or the others, but in the areas where the customer is, let's say, open the doors, and we see that the more and more customers are asking for, let's say, a more on-site delivered service with some mix between offshore and nearshore, but primarily, let's say, with German-speaking people in Germany, with U.S., let's say, people in the U.S., with people in U.K., and we can deliver that. And we can, let's say, we are not driven by a primarily offshore model. We are driven by using innovation and the mix between on-site people and partly offshore people at the same time. So it's a very interesting model, and we see, let's say, in some areas like Switzerland, like Germany, that this starts to get also traction, and this will help us to improve our business significantly in Poland and also in Latin America, because we are using those people to help us also for this non-transformation business going forward. So if you go to the next slide, we talked about the order entry. We had a record order entry in our Q3 with 63.7 million. We are really, let's say, very pleased about what we have achieved here. The good thing is also when you look to, let's say, the 9 months results, a very strong performance in Germany, Austria, Switzerland with 90 million, which is 180% improvement compared to last year. And we see that, for example, also now in Q3, the US catched up in a very good way. UK got a couple of very interesting deals together with partners, together with IBM. And this really makes me, let's say, very proud of that we just approved the strategy, and we are in the middle of the execution, which really gives us a very good feeling about the rest of the year and the fiscal year 20, which is in front of us. So, and then, as I said, this the S/4HANA, I would say we are just at the start of this business, but we see that SAP makes a lot of pressure. The customers understand that they need to do something, let's say, in a different way. The time is, let's say, getting, there's only 5 years left to make it happen. And customers are also understanding now, in the meantime, what is the advantage of the S/4HANA platform, what kind of, let's say, additional analytics and information they can get out of this platform. Then the big worry is, how do I get from A to B? And with our Bluefield approach, we have a super answer that the move to S/4HANA is not, let's say, does not need to be in the same way complex as the move was, let's say, between R/3 and ECC, for example. So, and that is what makes us different. And therefore, our Bluefield, in combination with our software, in combination with our partner, will lead to something which I see will be really, let's say, a tremendous shift for S&P going forward and should give us a strong growth for the next couple of years going forward. So with that, I will hand over to Uwe.
Thanks, Michael. Now, while you had the pleasure to look ahead and talk about strategy, I have the honor to look back to the last 9 months, respectively 12 months. And I think when we look at the key figures for S&P on page 5, it's a very bright picture. You see almost all the KPIs trending up, and not just trending up a little bit, but very significantly. Michael talked about order entry. When we look at order backlog, also up 50% versus the situation of last year. In revenue, we see the direct outcome of our strategy. We're moving more towards software, and we did not develop as much the revenue side coming from the service business yet. Although in Q3 also this number is up, and we see this trend continuing in the fourth quarter. On the profitability side, we can really talk about a turnaround situation. When we look on EBIT, negative in the last year, IFRS numbers, non-IFRS numbers, you name it, it's really an outflow of the change in the strategy to move more towards software. It's also an outflow of the increased capacity utilization beginning in Q2 and also the realization of our utilization in Q3, where we have been at in the major regions at a very high capacity utilization. Equity is up also to 69 million. I'll talk about that later when we go through the balance sheet numbers. Cash is a topic that will change again in Q4. I can already now reconfirm our guidance, and we have a separate chart for it, but I can reconfirm. And by reconfirming, it's also clear that the cash situation in Q4 will turn to the better. Employees, you might remember that we have been down about 50 people in the DACH region. That was part of our measures in the second half of 2018 to get our hands around the cost situation. And also there, I would say it was this initiative was quite successful. At the moment, we totally changed our approach. We're ramping up again. We're on hiring mode, but we do not hire where we lost the people. We do it in a smarter way, following our strategy, following our nearshoring approach with our nearshoring centers in Latin America, Poland, and in Southeast Asia. Now, I want to move to page 6, where we go a little bit more into the details now. First, regarding our revenue, you see here the trend coming from 17% in 2017, 17% of software sales, then moving up to 21% in the last year, and now a significant move towards the 31%. And this is a blended rate for the year, obviously. So the current run rate is even higher. So I would expect that we might end the year at a higher number. When we look to the US, for example, we see rates of up to 40%, which is for us a stellar achievement, coming from an average 21% in the last year for the overall group. And again, is reconfirming what we were talking about when it comes to our strategy and the move towards a more software-centric company. On page 7, we have a look on the revenue split with it, cloud and the software segment when it comes to the distinction between licenses and cloud and the support model that goes with it. And you see that support is stable while our licenses business is moving up, and it's really the licenses is less cloud. And it's not the SaaS that's stable, but it's when we look at the big picture, these numbers are minor. It's really all about the licenses, and again reconfirming our strategy. So I move to page 8. On page 8, we have a focus on what is happening in the DACH region. The DACH region for us is very important because it's our home market. It's where we have been strong traditionally for, I would even say, decades, and where we have seen some sort of weakness in the last 2 years. And we now see that we have overcome that situation, that we're able to ramp up sales and even more important to ramp up the order entry, which is the most significant KPI for future sales and for the future development in this region. We also see when we look one step ahead, we see a very strong pipeline for the coming quarters. So it's not a one-time effect. It's really something where we believe it's a stable situation of growth. Now I turn to balance sheet numbers, and I do not want to go into each and every detail, but just highlight what is happening and maybe give you the big picture. I can would like to address more details in our Q3 report, where we have a lot of comments about what is happening on the balance sheet. Now the current assets decreased by 12.2 million to 64 million, and that's mainly in addition. So I would just restate here, in addition to the increased capital commitment in relation to trade receivables and contract assets, the decline in cash and cash equivalents is mainly attributable to the settlement of purchase price liabilities, and that's where really the music was playing in the last 9 months. We also see an increase in trade receivables. That's quite natural when you look on our business development and the increase in on the order entry side. Non-current assets increased also close to 20 million to 94 million. This is due to the first-time application of IFRS 16. So we capitalize now lease and rental agreements, and that has an effect of close to 16 million, and is also one of the main root causes for the changes in the other areas in the balance sheet, but also in our cash flow statements. Balance sheets, equity and liabilities on page 10. The current liabilities increased from 36 million to a little bit more than 40 million. There's two countervailing effects. One, the liabilities have gone up by 5 million due to a promissory note loan and IFRS 16, and a decrease because of the purchase price liabilities and reclassifications. On the non-current liabilities side, a small increase by about 3 million to 49 million. So I would say that's also quite stable, mainly attributable to the increase of about 3 million in financial liabilities. Yeah, we have higher non-current leasing liabilities regarding IFRS 16. And non-current liabilities resulting from promissory note loans amount to 34 million right now. The group's equity declined slightly from 69.4 million to 69 million. I think more important is the equity ratio that slightly declined from 45.7% to 43.5%. Now I turn to page 11 and the first part of our cash flow statement. We have a negative operating cash flow, and this is mainly coming from the increase in trade receivables that we see on our books at the moment. And it's following a trend in order entry, but it's also when we look at a little bit deeper inside, our DSO numbers have been increasing slightly, and we put the right measures in place, in my eyes, to get this KPI down at the end of the year to the levels that we have seen before. Then, as a one-time effect, we like to point out the accrued license receivables, and we stayed here at the high end of the single-digit million range, for which payments will only be forthcoming over the next 12 months. That's a one-time effect that we will not see in future quarters. Then let's move to the investing activities. There, it's all about purchase price installments in connection with company acquisitions in previous years. So that's the main effect that we see here. And then also investment in property, plant, equipment, as we usually do. It's also the same magnitude as typically we have seen in the last couple of years. On the next slide, page 12, we see also a negative cash flow from financing activities. And this is then, again, due to the settlement of leasing liabilities and some minor exchange rate changes. So that has not hit S&P so far during the year. So I want to draw your attention to page 13 and the guidance for 2019, unchanged since we first published it. We want and we will achieve a revenue between 145 and 150 million. We've been increasing our order entry expectations slightly to a higher number due to the recent movements that we have seen. The backlog will be between 71 and 76 million. And on the EBIT side, we expect an EBIT margin in the low double-digit percentage range in the second half of 2019, so that we finally reach a lower to mid single-digit percentage range at the end of the year, which I would say is given where we stand at the moment, a conservative approach to our guidance. So I think it's time to open up our Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question received is from Holger Schmidt from Metzler Capital Markets. Your line is now open, sir.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my questions. The first question is with regard to the pipeline. You mentioned it. You see a strong business pipeline for the coming quarters. Could you quantify that? How much higher is it as compared to, let's say, 1 year ago and as compared to the first half year of 2019? Secondly, we have seen a strong increase in software license revenues in the third quarter. How much is related to the deal with, I guess it's IBM? And then my last question, the third question is, could you give an indication how much the S4, or let's say SAP S4HANA business contributed in terms of sales, and how do you see the development of M&A-related business? Because we see a declining M&A activity worldwide, and to what extent is it impacting you?
Okay,
Okay, this was a couple of questions. So let me just start with Michael Eberhardt and then we can add. On the pipeline side, we are differentiating between, let's say, our direct pipeline and our partner pipeline. So in the direct pipeline, we are between 30 to 50% higher compared to last year. And we see, let's say, improvement month over month in this area. On the partner side, we are significantly above that. So we are more than double as high on the partner. This is, let's say, because we have started this program, let's say, directly after the second half. So we are now, let's say, one quarter deeply in, let's say, in the public partner acquisition. We have independent partner managers. So, and this really pays off significantly all of the days. So this is not only, let's say, with one or two partners. This is broad with, let's say, five, six partners, which are the main partners. And then we make really significant progress across all regions. So that's not one region where we don't see that this partner program will not, let's say, be accepted or will fly in one of the markets. So that is the good thing. Yeah. The second question was about the big deal, the question about
IBM. Yeah. So the statement I want to make is that there's a portion of that deal that is included in the Q3 numbers. That's what we want to comment about it.
Okay.
And S/4HANA, the share of S/4HANA?
So the share of S/4HANA today is when we looked, let's say, overall, this is, let's say this way, this is a starting progress, which is accelerating significantly. So we have a lot of, in the pipeline, the increase is significantly, it's significant above 100% on the pipeline side. On the actual revenue side, it is still, let's say, significant, a small portion, because we just see that the customers are moving toward that. But from the partner pipeline, what we do together with partner, the biggest portion with the partner together comes in the S/4HANA areas. And these are for SNP significantly big deals. So we have a couple of deals which have a double million amount as order booking if we win these deals. And these are deal size which was, let's say, not the normal range of S&P in history. So this is, the partner business is very much aligned to the S/4HANA, because you combine very often the process consulting on the one side with the data migration on the other side. And the partner is, let's say, using us for our core competence, which is the data migration, the digital data migration part.
Okay,
anything else over?
I think we answered everything.
Nearly. There was this other question related to the M&A-driven business. I mean, we have seen a strongly declining M&A activity worldwide, and I'm wondering to what extent this could impact your business going forward.
Yeah, but what you see on the other side, you see that that's a lot of companies, a lot of customers are doing carve-outs or building up a business unit. Business unification. That means, for example, Daimler is building up this, let's say, three business models, which is the car, the trucks and buses and the services, the mobility part. Yeah, and this is similar like a carve out. From our point of view, this gives us exactly the same revenue stream. So, and then even if the economy is getting down, you see, let's say, look at, let's say, companies like Bosch, which are selling off, let's say, areas which are not longer strategic when the mobility goes towards e-mobility. I would not totally agree. I see, let's say, only in Germany, we have today four or five projects in parallel where we do carve-out. We have a significant amount of carve-out discussion and signed deals in the U.S., for example. Yeah. What we do not have is we do not have a lot of, let's say, merge discussion. That's right. But carve-out, we have significant.
Okay, thanks very much.
And the next question we received is from Lukas Spang, Unolift. Line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I would ask the questions one by one. We saw a higher service revenue in Q3. Could you give us an indication of the utilization rate in this business in Q3?
Yes, we can do that, but that's very different country by country. The good thing is we are highly utilized in high-cost countries like Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. We are solid utilized in Poland. And when I said good utilized, I think we are above 90% utilization in the DACH region. We have, let's say, good utilization in Poland. We had, not the best utilization in the U.S., but this will change now in Q4. And we have a solid utilization in Latin America. But on the other side, you know, with all this, the situation in Latin, that we see a lot of, political front wind in terms of the currency and this kind of thing. So, but the utilization is overall, when we take the full company, it's slightly around 80%. But exactly in the mix, I just presented to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And on the revenue side for Q4 or the fiscal year, the lower end with 145 million, you have to slide up around 40% at least in the Q4 in the revenue. So what is your visibility on the revenue side for Q4 at the moment?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and you can be sure that we monitor such a development very closely internally. And the answer again is very heterogeneous. Yeah. So first of all, we continue our very good business in the regions where we had the high capacity utilization in Q3. But in addition, we had a couple of regions where on the service side in Q3, we have not been achieving a very high capacity utilization. And this situation is now changing in the fourth quarter, where we are looking at a situation where the capacity utilization is on a very high level throughout the world. And in addition, we are working on several software deals that have a very positive impact on the Q4 numbers. So that's how we are bridging from Q3 to Q4.
And let me add two things. We had a revenue impairment in Latin America in Q3, which we don't see for Q4. And we had a couple of slippages of software deals, which were slipped by, 1 week, and we are now showing in Q4, which we had a plan to show in Q3, but they slipped, as I said, so they are now safe, they are signed, but we could not show them anymore in Q3. So this will help us to achieve our Q4 result.
Okay. And then on the earnings side for Q4, we saw now the very good improvement on EBIT level. Do you think this is also a good indication for Q4, or could you also increase this number again for Q4 versus Q3?
No, I think it's a good indication.
Okay. And last question from my side is, you mentioned the deal with Google in the presentation. Did you already booked revenues with Google, or is it just a thing for Q4 and 2020?
No, this will be included in Q4.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. The next question received is from Thomas Geiser, private investor. Your line is now open, sir.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon. My questions are if you can give us some color about the new partners you mentioned up. In the last calls, you spoke something about intelligence. This is also presented at the Transformation World. And maybe you can say something about the mother entity data, if you are also connecting with them, and about Accenture and Tata.
Okay, I can confirm that we are talking with all of them. so easy. Now, let me, I cannot give you all the details, but we just did a bigger deal with NTT. We do a significant amount of deals with Accenture. And it's different region by region. We do, let's say in one region, we are very good on the way with Deloitte. We have significant, let's say, business conversation, but not, let's say, a big success so far with Tata Consulting. We are in close partnership with T-Systems, for example. We had a conversation with All for One and Intelligence, and we are doing business with them on a small scale right now. But we are in a discussion about how can we optimize our product for the mid-sized business. You know that Intelligence and All for One are more in the mid-sized SAP environments. That means you need to have a slightly different approach, which is maybe more, a sender approach to do this move S/4HANA moves in this small scale, and then you have, let's say, local consulting companies like, for example, Mischke Hoffmann and Partner here in Germany and in the US, let's say, very much focusing on the automotive industry. The good thing is it is really broad, and it's a different status right now. So we are ahead of with all the partners with IBM, but Accenture is let's say very active in a couple of regions, and then we have local. We do, for example, and that is one very interesting part. We can do business in Europe without being, let's say, without having a big organization in Europe. So we do a couple of projects right now in an engagement phase in Spain. And we do this with our delivery colleagues out of Latin America, but the front end is always a partner. That means we do not have, a big sales organization in Spain right now, but we are present through the partnership. And this gives us, let's say, a total different visibility in markets where S&P is not known so far.
Okay. Does this end maybe in a deal like IBM, or is it in another part?
Let's say at the end it's all from a content point of view it's all like IBM. Mm-hmm. What is not let's say possible with all the partners is that they go in an upfront investment. But we have defined right now four kind of partnerships. We have a case by case partnership, and if we invest in such a case by case partnership, the education and the training will be paid by the partner, and the certification will be paid by the customer. Then we have partner with lower minimum revenue commitments. So we are negotiating right now two deals with partners which are lower, significant lower compared to what we did with IBM. And then we have, I give you an example with Accenture. I believe we will do a significant amount of business with Accenture. But as of today, we did not had any conversation about, a minimum revenue commitment, but they are highly engaged across the world. But this is more a partner model. It's much more difficult to really get, a single deal signed with such a partner like this. The same applies for the Big Four, for example. But they know that we are highly specialized, and to do this data migration, our advantage is, in different dimensions. One is we have an opportunity to do this kind of movements with close to zero downtime, which is very important for most of the customer. Then we do it, much faster. We do it with a more predictable, quality. And I think when you look to the market and all the work which is in front of us with S/4HANA, you will not find all the consultants. And our partners need the consultants in the front end for business process consulting. And we are, an optimal partner because we are not competitive to them, but we are very much specialized on the data part. So I would say my interest is not to do all this, to have all the same partnership. I think we need to have options, but we have, for most of the partners, we have good options, and there's very limited, competition in this area for us going forward.
Okay, and another question to IBM. You've signed the 30 million in 3 years. Are these 30 million completely included in your order backlog today? And the other question is, 30 million. What is your mindest revenues? What do you really expect to reach in the future with IBM, or what kind of direction can it end?
Okay, so maybe I take this question. So yes, the deal is reflected in the order backlog, but not to 100%.
Can you say how much at last?
No, but maybe one more piece of the puzzle I can hand over. You have to deduct the amount of revenue that was booked in Q3.
Okay.
And the next question received is from Gerard O'Connor from Berenberg. Your line is now open, sir.
Yeah, hello, it's Gerhard O'Connor from Berenberg. I want to ask along the same lines. So the potential, first of all, with IBM, is there any possible additional potential here? Same with Google, and then for example, with the big ones like Accenture, are you a little bit limited because you have kind of branded the IBM Corporation Bluefield, or can you do something very similar with Accenture as well, i.e. can that be kind of a significant double-digit euro million business?
Okay, let me start with the last question. The Bluefield is not branded with IBM. IBM is using the Bluefield as well. But Bluefield is, let's say, the brand is owned by S&P, and we are using this as our own projects on the customer side. Bluefield means it's not greenfield, it's not brownfield, it is Bluefield, which means you've optimized, let's say, the picture, and you have options as a customer. And this can be done by all of our partners. The brand is attached to S&P. But Accenture is doing together with, right now, a couple of Bluefield areas. But I got several times this kind of question because everybody believes that the blue comes from Big Blue. But this is not the case. This is just because I don't even know, because this was before I joined S&P. They have chosen Bluefield as, let's say, the thing between Greenfield and Brownfield. And this is really, let's say, very well received in the market and also supported by... In the meantime, by SAP, when you go to SAP, when you look for the tech head, for example, they name it more selective data transformation, which is exactly Bluefield. Yeah. So the second part is from an IBM perspective, we are working on a couple of big deals right now where IBM is doing, let's say, the business process consulting, and we see the customers are, when they move from ECC to S/4HANA, They decide, let's say, for example, the procurement will go to Ariba, for example. HR will go to SuccessFactor or HCM. And this kind of consulting is done by IBM. But then they said, okay, when we do, a lot of customers are asking, let's say, the big system integrator to use S&P methodology and technology for the data migration. And this is also something where we are starting in a different way. We do now analyst call, not only with financial analysts like today, but we do this also with analysts in the IT market, so that we, or sourcing provider. I just received a call yesterday morning from a sourcing provider and said, hey, I have a SAP S/4HANA business, which I need to get, provider selection done. So I will go for an RFP. Is this okay for you if I write in the RFP that all the data migration should be done by S&P technology? And this is the optimal scenario, because then wherever is offering afterwards, let's say, the kind of system integration business is using S&P's software to get the data migration done. This is the kind of branding we are working on. So the potential of IBM, I can only guess, but I believe if this goes good, we can consume 30 million within the first 18 months if this goes really good. And then if we do 30 million in the first 18 months together, then you can imagine that the scale in years 3, 4, and 5 can be significantly bigger. But it could be even if we only do 15 million, which I believe we will do in the first 18 months, then there is a huge scale, because what the IBM contract helps us is to get, let's say, the other partners more, let's say, we get more awareness from the other partners that there is something which is really interesting and we should talk to S&P. So I think this helps us to accelerate the business with Accenture's, with the Indian ones, with the local European ones, and with the local US ones.
Very good. Could we expect an announcement with Accenture, similar announcement that you made with IBM, or is because the way that you structure it with them on an ongoing basis, you wouldn't make a big announcement?
We will not do a big announcement, but they are, let's say, they are with a bigger team on our transformation work next week. We have a couple of, I just had a discussion with Accenture regarding an opportunity in Russia. We do something on a big plane company in Europe together, where the deal is signed. We have a, let's say, we have a couple of deals signed already the last quarter together with Accenture. I think today when I look to the deal signing, Accenture is head on head with IBM, but without this, let's say, minimum commitment. But for example, IBM gets slightly better prices because they are our, let's say, at that point of time, our preferred partner because they have given us this minimum revenue commitment.
Very good. Thanks very much.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. As there are no further questions, I hand back to the speakers.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, operators. Thanks, everybody, for being in this call today. If you feel that after this you have missed a question, Investor Relations always trying to help out. Just give us a call, write an email. If not, enjoy the day and see you next time. Hopefully on the Transformation World. We're the ones who are able to participate in the Capital Markets Day. And other than that, next reporting will be next year with the full year results. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.